Sprocket, old boy, what are you barking at? What do you see?
The ugly old lady. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q Overtime 125. Mark Bland, Jeremy Bailey. Hey!
Get your cares away.
Uh-huh.
Worries for another day.
Let the music play. Uh-huh. Down at Fraggle Rock. That's right.
Work your cares away.
Uh-huh.
Dancing for another day.
Work your cares away.
Down at Fraggle Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. We just got done with the main show, and now you're probably listening to us on the Breaking Point blog. Thank you for joining us, especially if you're one of our new listeners out of the WQQW area, 1510, Highland, Illinois, Madison County area. Thank you so much, as well as our guys from 1280 AM, KYRO, the Blowtorch of the Midwest, WestplexNewsTalk.com, as well as NewsTalk 1420, WINI. That's where you can listen to us every single week. Go to theqnow.com, go to Listen Live, and you can find the information about what times we are on in every single one of these cities that we are now playing in. We were discussing a few different things right there at the end, but you know, I got more questions here. I also got another letter from a listener. Can I get into that bad boy real quick?
Please do. They're always
I think you're going to like this one. In fact, let me grab a seat here, okay? Let me pull the seat up.
Ah, you're moving the microphone.
I am moving the microphone. Let me pull this microphone down here. Okay, here we go. Let me start off by saying I respect and admire all aspects of the military. They are very brave men and women. Switch the page. But there is something that is really starting to bug me, Mark. Many people, including the media, are forever stating that our soldiers are fighting for our country and we should treat them as heroes. Maybe it's just me, but I don't see them as fighting for our country. They are fighting for the freedom of others, dependent on your stance of the motive for their being there. I am tired of being labeled unpatriotic for my views, but I feel that our grandfathers and their fathers truly fought for our freedom. Preventing an invasion springs to mind. Now I have been informed by people that in actual fact, the military being in Afghanistan and Iraq is helping prevent terrorism in our homelands, but I don't buy it. Are people really suggesting that a war on terror can only be fought overseas? I know that soldiers do not have a say on where they are deployed or for what reason. But getting a leg blowed off whilst scouting for IEDs, which were only put there because they were there in the first place, seems a bit moot in my point. I give it to the Help for the Heroes charity, not because they are heroes to me, but because I feel it's unfair for them to have become badly injured because of this. I also understand that why people have a family in the military refer to them as heroes. They have to justify the risk being taken by someone they love or genuinely are proud of them. I guess it's a bad use of terminology, but I just feel uncomfortable when someone says they are fighting for our freedom or our country. Any thoughts?
I got a couple on that.
Go ahead, knock it out.
Let me just say, just right off the bat, that yes, every veteran in my mind is a hero. Every person that has sacrificed their freedom in order to protect your freedoms is a hero. And I don't see it any other way. If you've ever served a day in the military, you would know that on day one, you are not free anymore. You have given up all of those regular rights that all the regular people that are not in the military have, and they are doing that in the cause for their country.
Okay.
I've
gone on multiple shows for this show. For these networks and for my programs. And I am, I think we've discussed this a little bit outside of the station, but I'm a very firm believer that, you know, I think, and I'm not in the same boat as this individual, okay?
Yeah.
I do believe that there are heroes within the United States military, okay?
Sure.
I do not believe that every single person who fights for the United States military is technically a hero. I do not agree with that. I say, listen, and this is, I'm going on record again with this. This isn't Vietnam. This isn't Seoul, Korea. This isn't the Civil War. You weren't forced with a gun to your head or a draft notice in the mail to go down to the naval office in your case or sure. whatever and forced against your will to put yourself into a position when you didn't want to be, okay? Those people, I would agree with in your case, okay? Not okay. You specifically, but in the case of the military.
Right.
I would say people who were in the Vietnam War, people that were in the Civil War or that were in World War One and Two, anything where there was a draft against their will, those people are technically all heroes because they were put into that position. Now,
they are all heroes, but they're not exclusively heroes.
I would say that they are kind of exclusively heroes. I'm not saying that there aren't military heroes in this day and age, and there aren't people that need
not everybody
to be
gets a Medal of Honor.
Not everybody gets a Medal of Honor, and I understand.
And that's even that's like superhero.
Right, and I understand that, but at the same point, there's always been, and this has been my biggest problem with the United States, and especially on the conservative side, because the conservative people tend to be the ones who are rah-rah, military, and I'm not against the military. I have told you to your face, I appreciate your service to our country. Thank you so much for putting your life at risk. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm saying that right now to you across the table from me, okay? Like, I respect these individuals heavily, and I think that they deserve respect in return. At the same point, I am not one of these people who's going to sit there and play the game of, well, you know, if Red Dawn happened tomorrow and Russians started falling from the sky with their M16s or the AKs or whatever they got, and they start running around my neighborhood, I'm just going to sit by idly and just watch and wait for the military to show up to take care of business. That ain't going to happen. It's going to be just like the Revolutionary War. We're all going to run for whatever guns we got, and we're going to all start fighting. And that's what's going to happen. This idea that the normal person who doesn't sign up for the military and doesn't put themselves in that position, they're unjustifiably like unpatriotic. They're not of the same level as me. That's BS.
I'm not sure I understand your argument. There's heroes of all types.
Of course there are.
There's plenty of people that have, you know, just worked at the Social Security office their whole life. That to me, they're heroes.
Now, where this guy I think might be going a little bit, And I don't necessarily agree or disagree. I'm kind of like moot on that point, actually, unbiased, is the idea that there is some grandiose justification for why they should have undying respect just given to them. And I understand where he's coming from, like to this, which goes back to my idea that if the crap hit the fan. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, there's like the Chinese start dropping people from the skies. We couldn't stop them. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Too many planes, too many whatever. And the military can't be everywhere all at once. Okay?
Right.
They start falling into our neighborhoods. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to go and they're going to start to work together to fight these individuals, just like the movie Red Dawn.
And they'll be heroes as well.
Exactly. But when that's not happening, there is this belief within our society that if you're not in the military, then either you are too weak or you don't have the ability to pull it off, and that those people have this higher level or they need to put it on a different pedestal than you should be. And that's not true.
No, I don't. But I don't think that's really the argument. Offering the label to a hero for serving their country and performing the act of ultimate patriotism deserves a label of hero all in itself. It doesn't matter if you went Rambo. At all. It doesn't matter if you were a secretary. It doesn't really matter what you did.
Right.
Because every Marine, whether they work on tanks, whether they're snipers, whether they're grunts, whether they're mechanics, they are all potentially at risk to be in harm's way purely for the justification of the defense of this country. The bottom line is everybody in the military can shoot a weapon. Everybody in the military has a very, very good chance of being in a very awkward situation, regardless of what they actually do in the military.
All right. Fair enough.
Maybe not the Air Force.
So anyway, those are my thoughts as well as Jeremy's thoughts on your letter and what you said. Pretty simple.
I mean, I appreciate the opinion. I understand, but because you know, I mean, I guess maybe sometimes they do go overboard with, you know, accolades for rudimentary things. However, it's not as rudimentary as, hey, this guy, all he did was this or all he did was that. No, I mean, just go ahead and try boot camp out. See if you like it.
I don't think anybody liked boot camp.
No,
I don't. I just don't think it's one of those things that anybody would ever be jumping up and down. I'm sure you met some people, though, that were like gung-ho in boot camp.
Yeah.
I still think my favorite story you've ever told me about boot camp was the guy who kept wearing and dressing like the Navy SEALs and doing all the Navy SEAL stuff, and then like graduation day or whatever, like he had said something to one of the Navy SEAL officers, like, I look forward to being with you, because they choose who they specifically want to come into Navy SEAL training with them.
Yeah, they actually
and they ended up choosing somebody else in your platoon as opposed to that guy.
Division.
In your division, you know, and like that guy just got bumped and he was just like dejected as all hell.
Yeah. Well, in boot camp, you can actually, anybody can do it. They can get up and train with the SEALs. All they got to do is get up about 3 o'clock in the morning, go to the pool, swim with them for a couple hours, and then go through your normal boot camp day.
Did you ever do that?
Me? I didn't want to be a SEAL.
Were there guys that did it?
I have a family. I was too scared.
Were there guys that did it?
There was one. There was one in our division that went ahead and made it all the way to SEAL.
But he said, but you told me, this is like when you first got back from the military, this is one of the stories you told me in like 2003 or whatever.
Yeah, well, there's always those guys.
That he would dress like them and they actually took it personally. They didn't like that because...
Because what they do is they wear those coochie cutter shorts, right?
Right, because they got huge freaking muscles.
Well, they go swimming in them and they're actually useful for them, you know, anyway, and let me back off a little bit, because I said I was scared to be... It sounded like I said I was scared to be a SEAL. I was scared to die.
Because those guys get put into extreme conditions.
When I had kids waiting for me at home, I thought it wasn't very smart of me to put myself in a high probability death situation like that.
Which the SEALs, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, any special forces do that quite often.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They, you know, there's some more superheroes right there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Those are real dudes right there.
Yeah, my radio instructor was a SEAL, who I can't go into a whole lot of detail about, but he was a monster. And we had a guy in our division that outran him, and I didn't think that was possible. This guy was just through the roof crazy. You know, I mean, he showed us a lot of crazy things that I can't even talk about, but the SEALs are the real deal. I'll just say that.
You told me that you have connections to somebody who does, like, special forces contracting?
Yeah.
We should bring that person on. I would like to talk
to him. He's in Afghanistan right now.
Oh, well, then that's not going to be possible. At all.
Well, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be very tough. We could Skype.
FaceTime.
We could FaceTime, that's it? iPhone action?
Well, I just know that's what he uses.
All right, a few more questions here. I got some questions, all right? And then I want to talk about some things in your 20s. Some things in your 20s that we're going to kind of either agree or disagree on, and we're going to figure out if this list is any of value to people who are now in their 30s, who've been through the 20s and know exactly what it's about. Mark, what's the most ridiculous thing someone has boasted about to you? The most ridiculous thing somebody has boasted about to me? Well, that's a great question. Okay. All right. Perfect story. And it's funny that I'm getting ready to tell you this story, because I think we've talked about it off the air, but I've never really talked about it on the air. And if I did, it was right after the situation happened. One day, there's a couple of individuals, I'm not going to get into their names, who work at the radio stations that we record and do the shows at and all that. And so sometimes when we get off the air, they're hanging around the station. Well, I had been only at the station for a few months, and Travis Cook, it was his first time ever being on my show with me. And so me and Travis were getting ready to leave out when one of these individuals who hosted another show with a very extreme opposite viewpoint of myself happened to be in the lobby. And this individual and his co-host, who you might have met within the last few hours, happened to... the co-host wasn't here, but he was here. And I had heard from other people in the station that they had talked about me on their show multiple times and how they just completely disagree with a person who's got a liberal viewpoint or a moderate viewpoint, not being conservative, being on the station, and the things that they would say, and how dare they do this to their radio station, stuff like that. Now... Okay, so the individual's out in the thing, and I said, "Oh, hey, man, you must be so and so, because I've seen your picture before. I've never met you." And he's like, "Oh yeah. Are you Mark, the liberal radio show host guy with the Q thing or whatever?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, I've heard a lot about your show and this. And I'm like, I haven't had a chance to really listen to your show, but you know, I've heard good things. And me and Travis were getting ready to leave, and Travis started to like talk to him a little bit, and he was like, "So, what do you do? What do you do for a living?" And he goes, "Oh. Well, you know, I'm a contracted military guy." And I was like, you're a contracted military guy. And he goes, yeah, you know. And I'm like Blackwater? Like Blackwater organization type contracted military? And he goes, exactly like that, actually. That's exactly what I do on the side. And then I work here part-time. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, it blew me away. And, you know, now that I've come to know this individual, and I know that they are far from anything like that whatsoever. It's all a dream for them. You know what I'm saying? That's what they want to be.
Right.
Kind of like your Navy SEAL. That's their story. You know what I'm saying? I just found it really interesting that they would go to that link. Like Blackwater, like it's potential for someone who lives out here in Troy, Moscow Mills, outside of St. Louis in the boonies or something, to have worked in the military at that level and like retired to that area or whatever, or, you know, have a house that's out that direction and they're gone from it all the time.
Right.
But for them to just be randomly talking about it out loud, like it's cool, like it's something that they, you know, just would shoot off the tip of their tongue. Like, in most cases, these are former special forces individuals who have had extremely high clearance levels in their careers, and they are the most trusted individuals even when they leave the military. That's why they are contracted past the military, so they know the rules of what they can and can't say, what they should and shouldn't say, and they're not going to drop like that. It ain't going to happen. These are guys that they're going to pinch their nipples with, like, you know, car battery clamps and stuff like that. And they're
gonna, just to go to sleep.
And they're going
to
dip their balls in water that's, like, scalding hot just to try to get them to talk. And they're not going to say a single word. So here comes this two radio show hosts from a Saturday afternoon radio show. They're not just going to be like, oh, yeah, I wasn't going to tell these guys who, like, hit me with electrical nipple clamps. But you know what? I'll just tell you guys right now. I'm totally Blackwater. I do this all the time. And I live right down the street. Here's my address. Like, come on.
Well, and, you know, if you ever met anybody that's actually doing those contracts, it's usually minimum 3-6 months that you're gone, and a lot of those guys stay gone the whole year.
Yeah, because they don't need to travel a 24-hour trip back to the United States just to turn around within a few weeks to go back.
To catch their weekend show.
To catch their weekend show and get right back on out over there to Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever the hell they're at. So what's the most ridiculous thing someone's ever told you?
You know, nothing's really popping in my head. I can't lie. I don't have anything big popping in my head. I'm sorry. I don't have a great one for you, Mark.
All right. Fair enough. If you could uninvent anything from existence, what would it be?
Ooh.
Uninvent anything from existence. Like, just get rid of something from the past that was invented, that either we currently use or in the past was used heavily, and then just get rid of it out of complete existence. That's a good question too. I would probably say something like, well, okay, there's two ways you could go with this. Okay. You could either be evil. Okay.
Right. Get rid of the wheel.
Yeah. That's getting ready to say, I was like, you could really be evil and go, let's just get rid of the wheel and see how society would have turned out, or get rid of fire and just see what happens. You know what I'm saying? Or water, just to go that route. You know what I'm saying? Just like ridiculous things that you should never get rid of. Or you can go a little bit more rudimentary. I know this is going to catch a lot of flack from a guy like Travis, but, what if we got rid of college football? Just got rid of
soccer
potentially. that would be funny. Good Lord. One thing, I guess in this case, they're asking, uninvent something that you feel is a useless thing that never should have been invented in the first place. Just worthless. I don't think that there's anything that's been invented that is just completely 100%.
I'm sure there's tons of inventions that didn't make it,
but they weren't completely useless or worthless. They obviously were usable.
If they were worthless, we don't know about them because they're worthless.
Right, and so...
If they're good, they're still, well, there's got to be something that's still around.
Right. So let's caveat this
the first thing I thought of was maybe the atomic bomb, but I mean, there's got to be good things that came out of just having that knowledge.
We talked about it on, I think, the Cook-Bailey debates. I think we talked about the idea that you could use the fact that you did drop the bomb.
Yeah.
On somebody, and no other country can actually say that. You know, like, you can walk into a thing and be like, oh, we did drop the bomb on you. And you're like, yeah, they did. They did drop the bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So maybe we shouldn't piss them off because they actually did it. You know what I'm saying? Those kind of things.
I guess I could say the atomic bomb, though. I would have to say that's up there.
I'm going to say completely useless to our society and history.
I don't know.
I'm going to say the Dodge Dart. I'm going to say the Dodge Dart. I'm going to do a callback. Dodge Dart. Dodge Dart is what I'm going to say. The Dodge Dart was useless to society. Maybe the Nova.
Yeah. Two good ones. There you go. That's three uninventors.
Three uninventors right there. And well, then you have the Vega and the Omega. They were all part of the Nova.
You're right.
All right. If nobody knew movies were fake, which ones would be the most unsettling? Okay,
I'm not sure I understand.
Let's assume that movies are not fake.
Okay. They're all biographical documentaries.
They're basically biographical documentaries, but to the same token.
All right.
They all are realistically based.
Okay.
They all are true. They're not. We don't know that they're fake. So we see the movie and we believe whatever's happened in the movie has actually happened, and they just filmed this and it was crazy that happened. What would be the most unsettling, like the ones that would blow your mind? I would have to say, okay, just right off the top of my head, I immediately go to horror. Okay?
Yeah, me too. Hellraiser jumped to my head.
You almost got to go to horror, okay?
Yeah.
I would have to probably say Nightmare on Elm Street just for the idea that every human being goes to sleep. And the idea that if I saw a video of a movie and it's real, it's a realistic biography or whatever, of a guy who didn't die, he got burned to death, and now he lives in your dreams and like could kill you at any time and chase you down like ugly hallways and stuff, that would probably be pretty freaky every time I would try to go to sleep. Yeah. I would have to say the Nightmare on Elm Street would be up there.
Well, most of the horrors, obviously.
With like okay.
Most of the good ones.
Well,
the good ones.
Well, see, with Nightmare on Elm Street, it's every person dreams and every person falls asleep. So it could be any person anywhere in the world anytime.
Right.
Like with Friday the 13th, it's only Camp Crystal Lake. So I'm just going to not go to Camp Crystal
Lake. Don't go there.
Like I'll never go to Camp Crystal Lake.
See somebody in a mask, run real fast.
Right. You know, and until they get to like, you know, Jason Takes Manhattan.
You're good.
Now, by the time we get to Jason Takes Manhattan, I'm starting to think, okay,
go to Brooklyn.
It's like killer bee swarms. They're moving out of Texas now. They're starting to get into other parts of the country.
Right.
Now, when I get to like part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
There's still only one Jason. I mean,
by the time he gets to Jason Takes Manhattan, I've seen the other 7. I'm like, oh my God, this Jason guy is amazing. This Camp Crystal Lake is on. And then I see Jason Takes Manhattan. I'm like, oh shit, he's on the move. Like, he's
where's
going
the Jason radar?
Like, he's going places now. It's not Camp Crystal Lake anymore. He is moving around. You don't have to be in an insane asylum. They've tried to kill him 30 different times, and this is blowing my mind.
Just watch the news. Avoid there.
Like, I'm not going to be a boxer on the top of a building in the Empire State Building, okay? It's not happening. We're not knocking any heads off here. You know what I'm saying? Like that would be the thing that would blow my mind about that. And then eventually I'd be like, well, you know, someday space exploration, and then Jason X comes out and it's like, oh shit, he's already in space. Damn it. I can't go to space now, dude. This dude could kill me in space. Like,
I guess any of the superhero movies would be kind of sucky unless you happen to have those powers. Just to know that was possible, and you missed that roll of the dice, and you're just a normie.
Not only that, but the idea that there's this guy out there, and you're just like,
man, he
where
is super.
Is he at? Like, where is that guy at? And, like, you're starting to look around like you live.
I really want to cross the street, Superman.
Well, no. And then there's Gotham City, and you're just like, I want to go to that city. I just don't know where on the map this is at. This map that I have in my real world does not have a Gotham City on it. And they have
Batman hunting for 3 days straight, and I ain't seen shit.
Yeah, like, this is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Start committing crimes just to get pictures.
If I see Spaceballs, I'm like,
I just wanted a picture, Batman. Come on, Bruce.
Well, if I see Spaceballs, I'm like, I'm going to be like, okay, wait a second. You mean that there's already people that live up in space and they wear huge helmets and they're stupid? This is ridiculous. What is going on here? Like,
We ain't found shit.
So yeah, like there's some entertaining things right there, you know? Like, the Godfather stuff would seem pretty rudimentary. I'd be like, oh, it seems like, yeah, there's like gang members and shit that do this, that, and the other.
Right, yeah.
You know? But,
It's not boring, but I mean, you know, it's already real.
I'm trying to an extent,
except for it's not as cool.
I'm trying to think of it like, oh, dude, like seeing a movie like Point Break, you'd be like, holy shit, the city of L.A. was under siege by four surfers. Like, you would wonder, like, you'd start wondering, too, like if you saw the movie Speed, you'd be like, why didn't I hear about this on the news? They put OJ's car chase on the news. Here's a bus that
the most boring car chase ever.
Yeah, and here's a bus that has to stay above 55 miles an hour.
Right, right.
Why did they talk about this? I missed that day in my life. You know what I'm saying?
That would be horrible.
Yeah, there'd be some interesting things. Like, Armageddon, I'd be freaked. I'd be like, holy crap, when did the asteroid almost hit us?
Fuck no, Mary Poppins. I see a lady floating around on an umbrella. I'm shitting myself.
Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And I guess, you know, that's pretty funny. That's just, where is this make-believe land where, like, Bugs Bunny
Oompa
meets...
Loompa would be freaky.
Dude, oh my God. Like, I want to go to Wonka's
People just start
candy.
Singing weird songs everywhere you go.
You want to go to his candy factory, but you don't know where it's at. You're just like, where is it at? It seems like England, but I don't know
Not
for sure.
Not totally sure.
There's just this guy.
And then you just, oh, wait, let me read the package.
Yeah, why aren't they talking about Nestle. Him on biography.com?
That's in Pennsylvania.
You would think that he'd have an amazing biography, too. Like, you're just waiting for the Willy Wonka biography on. Like,
he's
like,
just a boring dude.
Really boring guy.
With diabetes, probably.
All right, next question. Why is it considered standard to give 2-week notice when leaving a job, but if you're fired or let go, your employer doesn't have to give you 2 weeks?
Because
that
they have
sucks.
The power.
Yeah, that kind of really sucks. Don't you think that there maybe should be some type
of
a standard?
Of course that's not fair.
I think there should be like some type of a standard, like 1 week policy that a week before you're to be terminated, that they have to let you know.
No, because that does give you time to really screw some things up. So I understand that. But they should have to pay you for those 2 weeks, assuming you've, you know, got past probation or whatever. You know, once you fire somebody, you should get 2 weeks worth of pay.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that'd be fair.
All right. What name do you immediately associate with a specific type of person? So just a general name, like Tom, Brian, Mark, Jeremy.
What kind of a specific type of person,
like maybe a job that they specifically do? Like whenever you hear this name, you think, oh.
Okay.
It's a, like, all right.
Let's tennis this a little bit then.
All right, back and forth?
Yeah, IT.
IT. Greg.
Really?
Yeah, Greg or Bill.
Bill.
Bill or Greg. Bill's a good one. To me, Bill or Greg. Sounds like that.
Monosyllabic.
What about sports athlete?
Michael.
Germanius. Leviticus Majorin.
I guess it depends on the sport, right? So football.
You know what? That brings up something really funny. Have you ever seen the Key and Peele where they talk about football names?
Yeah, I think I did see that.
Key and Peele do the East-West College Bowl football names. I want you guys to take a listen to this. This is hilarious.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Stass, alongside Jeff Worthing, and welcome to the annual East-West Bowl. As we get ready to watch some of the best college players in the nation showcase their skills in a classic showdown between East and West. And there really are some characters on this year's squads, aren't there, Jeff?
That's right, Dave. It does seem like the most flamboyant personalities came to the forefront, and they are here. Let's meet the players from the East.
DeMarcus Williams, University of Georgia.
T.J. Jackson, Wayne State University.
Tavarius Smith King, Merrimack College.
Ty Royal Smoochie Wallace, University of Miami.
Desquarius Green Jr., University of Notre Dame.
Ibrahim Moizus, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
Jack Marius Tack Theratrix, Michigan State University.
The Isaiah T. Billings Clyde, Coastal Carolina University.
The Jasper Probenkruk III, South Carolina State University.
Leos Maxwell Gilliam, East Carolina University.
Jamaris Jamar Jamaris and Lamar, University of Middle Tennessee.
DeVoyne Showerhand, University of Southern Mississippi.
Hingle McCringleberry, Penn State University.
Le Carpetron Duke Marion.
Le Carpetron.
Atlantic University.
Ridiculous Morgan, University of South Florida.
Xmas Jackson Flaxen Waxen, California, University of Pennsylvania.
We're going to be looking for big plays all game long. Tyrell Smoochie Wallace.
And let's not forget the tight ends, Ibrahim Moizus and Hingle McCringleberry. They've both had amazing seasons.
That's right, Jeff. Now let's meet the players from the West.
Vegetarian Jefferspin, Texas A&M.
The Gloucester Hot Dunkin' Chud, University of Wisconsin.
Swervathan L. Gooding Splat, Saskatchewan University.
Quatchville Quatchvo, San Jose State University.
Ozma Taz Buckshank, Stanford University.
Visa 12 Washing Beard, Jones College.
Shakira Kwan TGIF Carter, University of Northern Arizona.
X Wayne at Aliciousness, Missouri Western State University.
Sequester Grundle Plith MD, Adam State.
Scoy's Velociraptor Malois, South Dakota State University.
TJAJRJ / 4th, the 5th, Albion College.
San Diego State University.
Donkey Teeth, Boise State University.
Torque.
Lewis, Nevada State Penitentiary.
Blair, formerly known as Mouse Cop, University of Missouri, Columbia.
Dan Smith, BYU.
Dude, that's it right there, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, that's great stuff right there. But that goes into like the whole idea of names and stuff like that we're talking about. You know, when I think of Jeremy, I think of, wow, you know what? Unemployed. I don't have like a job I associate with a Jeremy.
Right.
I don't know where I put a Jeremy. To me, a Jeremy always seems like your best friend's friend. You know what I'm saying? Like there's like when I associate that name with, like, if I see a Jeremy, I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying,
right.
I associate that as a friend of another friend, never me.
Somebody always knows a Jeremy.
Yeah. Somebody always knows a Jeremy. You know, I know a Jeremy, yeah. Jeremy such and such. Jeremy Lewith. Oh, that's horrible.
I don't know. All the Bible names. Mine came out. Mine was from the Bible. I mean,
what about Abraham? I always think of that as a doctor.
Mm.
Abraham, doctor.
I'll go for that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll go for that. Or a president.
Or Franklin. If somebody says their name is Franklin, Frank is either the guy who works on my car. You know what I'm saying? If it's Frank, but if it's Franklin,
he's
like a college
banker.
Professor or a banker. Yeah, like a college professor or a banker.
Yeah, I see that.
So, yeah, those are some of the names. Just some of the things. All right, let's finish this this little overtime off with mistakes that you'll definitely make in your 20s, Jeremy.
Okay?
A list of mistakes you'll definitely hold in your 20s. Let's see how many of these actually apply. You ready?
All right.
You'll wear things that you'll regret later.
No.
In your 20s.
No.
Think back to your 20s.
Yeah.
You didn't wear anything in your 20s that you would regret later.
I've been pretty plain
dresser. A certain style of clothing. For us, it was tight rolled jeans, but we were in middle school.
Yep, so that doesn't even count.
There
was nothing in my 20s that, I was in a uniform for a lot of it.
Right.
Otherwise, it was pretty much blue jeans and t-shirts.
You'll embarrass yourself by drinking too much.
Oh, that, yeah.
That'll happen. Yeah, yes, that'll
that's
happen.
That's true.
You'll live with a roommate who is a horrible person. Now, that doesn't apply to everybody, but for most people that end up having roommates in their 20s,
yep.
There's usually at least one time or one person you live with who it turns out to be not such a special situation.
Yeah.
So that happens quite often.
Yeah.
You'll have a very strong opinion on something that later turns out to be totally wrong.
Hundreds of things.
That's just one. One that just hundreds of things.
You finally get to a point where you're like, you know what? I'm not sure about anything, so I'm just going to take it as it goes.
I was in my mid-20s when I voted for George Bush.
Yeah, well,
and that turned out horrible. You'll fall for the wrong person. For you, it was a little different.
Yeah, I was
you were
lucky.
Like 20 when you got married.
Yeah.
So that was a little different for you. But for me, yeah, that happened. I was in my 20s when I fell for the wrong person. And it wasn't my wife. You know, eventually I met my wife.
I mean, I had heartbreak when I was younger, but
right.
Not in my 20s.
You'll hold at least one job that you'll hate. Potentially, yeah. In your 20s, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You're probably going to do that. You'll always say...
You should, or you're lazy.
You'll always say being a grown-up sucks, but you'll never actually think that you're a grown-up.
Never. Well...
You think it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really that old yet. You know what I'm saying?
I met quite a few people that just forget they're not teenagers anymore.
You really don't start to realize where life is until you hit about 35. And then you start to notice changes.
To pay your own bills.
Well, but you just start to notice it like your mid-30s. Some difference in responsibilities, some changes in like how you're further on the backside or the top or the middle than you are on the beginning end of it. You'll pretend to like music you don't actually like.
What?
Yeah, that happens. You know, there's songs that you'll like think about at the time period that you'll associate with good things, but they're not great songs, and then you'll realize.
Now, I've liked songs that I later regretted liking, but that's not the same. That's not the same.
You won't be able to pay your bills, and you'll have to ask your parents for help.
Not very often in my case.
No. They're saying that at least that'll happen in your 20s.
Oh, it will happen once or twice at least.
Yeah, you'll have a bill or something where you're going to have to go to mom and dad and hey, can you help us? You'll make a dumb financial decision. Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty much your whole life. You'll let your friends influence you the way you think about yourself. Totally true. Totally true. I mean, your friends are still like, you got to realize at 21 years old, you're still not that far away from the year you graduated high school.
Yeah.
And you're not quite into that like more independent later 20s, early 30s mode yet. So you're still
pulling yourself out of the popularity contest.
Yeah. Like by the time you turn 25, you realize at 21, you didn't know as much as you thought you did. Yep. And by the time you turn 30, you realize at 25, you still didn't know as much as you thought you did.
And by the time you're 35, you forgot more than you learned.
That's right. That's very true. It'll take you at least 5 years to get used to the idea that you're not in school anymore. Probably high school. Yeah. There's a little bit of that. That's that whole idea that you're not a teenager anymore.
I guess it depends, though, on how you view education. But I went a different route than most people altogether. So
you'll unintentionally ruin a potential friendship.
20s, yeah.
Yeah, you'll run across a situation where you think that you're in the right on something, or you'll lose contact with an individual off some type of rudimentary beef that was just something you made up bigger in your head than it really was.
Right.
And it'll end up being a potentially great friendship that you could have had for many years. And then here's what usually happens in that case. Years down the line, you reconnect with that person in some off happenstance that you didn't realize, and you'll go, wow. I kind of lost that for a long time. You know, that I kind of made that out to be a bigger deal than it really was. You'll lose touch with some of the people that you think you know the best. That's true.
Yeah.
How me and Jeremy lost touch with each other.
Yeah, for a long time.
For a long, long time. And we hung out all the time. Like, we were best friends. You know, so that happens all the time, especially in your 20s. You know, you just lose touch with people.
I mean, I lose touch with people I try to keep in contact with. It's just, it gets tough when you're older.
I love my best friend, Jason Acklin. Me and Jason have been friends since we were 2 years old. 2 years old, that's 35 years of friendship. As soon as we graduated high school, and I mean literally grew up on the same street, a few houses away from each other, went through middle school, went through high school, went through elementary school together, knew each other like the back of our hands, bestest friends in the world. Best friends. Graduated high school, slowly over that first year of not being in high school together, even though we were still in town, we just started to lose contact and lose touch. Yeah. And before you knew it, 5 years went by, graduated, got married. Jason wasn't even at my wedding. You know, like things just progressed. Actually, Jason might have been at my wedding. I can't remember for sure. You'll think happiness is something that just happens to you. That's potential too. You're still stupid. You're still young, and you think that
you don't have to work for it.
Everything figured out, and like you don't have to work for it, and that's just not the truth. You know, the truth is that
my millions.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, you always. That's another thing. You always think that you're going to be financially okay.
Yeah.
When you're young, you think because of that background that you had with your mom and dad always kind of taking care of you, and then you're still living at home once you graduate high school, you know what I'm saying? You got a job, but you're really not out on your own paying your own bills, you know? You always think, this isn't going to be that bad. I'll be okay. And that's just not the truth. The truth is that you're never as good as you think you're going to be. It gets worse.
Right. Before it gets better.
Worse.
But it eventually gets better.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's a reading rainbow.
Butterfly in the sky. I can fly twice as high.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here.
It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
All right, we're going to get out of here on the Overtime. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you check out theQNow.com for more information and more good episodes of Overtime. We'll see you guys next time. For Jeremy Bailey, I'm Mark Bland. Peace. A reading room.